Indeed, let's get it going here on 96.9. This is the BJ Sports Hour. It's 6:09 is your time. It's good to be back. Had an eventful past couple of days in sports. Justin Diaz here next to Bobby Broxton. Bobby?
Yo.
How you doing, man?
I don't know. I guess I'm doing as good as always. Just glad to be here.
We're all glad to be here. Glad to put on a show for you guys. And let's get right to it. As far as power play has just been absolutely awful lately. I mean, notoriously, the Flyers have a good power play historically, but recently they have fallen to 23rd in the league.
It's an absolute abomination, is what it is. I mean, they're leading the league in even strength goals. If you watch the team, you know they're deadly when shorthanded. Richards, Briere, Giroux, you've seen them shorthanded. They've pulled off highlight reel goals. I don't understand how a team that is this skilled can just perform so atrociously when they're a man ahead.
Well, I mean, I'm by no means a hockey expert, never played the sport in my life, but you know, I'm here to give my opinion. That's what my job is. So, I mean, you see a 16.7%. That's 1 out of 6, right? You know your fractions. 1 out of 6. That's a power play goal every other game. I think they're passing around too much. We're in their zone. What do you think about that?
They're trying to get too cute. They're one of the more skilled teams in the league. You see it every night. Players like Briere, Danglin, Giroux, taking players on 3-on-1 by himself. They're cute out there. Maybe they're trying to outdo each other. I don't know what it is. They're always trying to come out with acute goals instead of just getting in there, getting a screen, and getting an ugly goal.
Yeah, I mean, maybe get a little more Scott Hartnell out there. You know he doesn't care about, you know, being ugly, getting ugly goals. I mean, that guy will get in there down and dirty. You think he could turn this thing around for us?
Well, I'm more concerned with Scott Hartnell's ability to stay on his feet on a power play.
So, Gus Johnson showing his appreciation for that remark, eh?
Well, you know, I don't think Scott Hartnell's talents, per se, can contribute to the power play. But, I mean, if he's the only guy that's going to be willing to park his butt in front of the goaltender to get a screen, I guess that's what we're going to have to do.
Yeah. You know, Gus agrees, as Amy Diaz not joining us on the sports show. So, what were we talking about there? Hartnell. I'll tell you what, you know, you can question his balance, you can question his ability, but the one thing that Scotty has out there, he will give you heart every single night. Work ethic, getting in the corners, banging around out there. I mean, that's what you need on the power play. You don't need all these cute Briere, Giroux, Gerdev, Richards passing each other. You need somebody out there that's just going to get in there, going to stick his stick in there, get dirty, and get a few goals for us. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, Laviolette's been trying everything with the power play lines lately. With all the different combinations he's come up with, I don't see any reason why he couldn't try out Hartnell at this point. Nothing else is working.
Well, I mean, Captain Mike Richards not too happy about all the changes. We got Mike Richards? All right, got a quote from Mike Richards coming up for you. Here's Richards on the power play.
I think we just need to build that chemistry up so we can make some different plays and lure each other on the ice, and it's tough to do. Switching it up, and I think we got to let other teams' penalty kills adapt to us and not try to adapt to their penalty kill.
There you go, the captain thinking, you know, maybe we got a little too much change going on here. What do you think about that? You know, a little conflict between captain and coach.
You know, this might be going slightly off topic, but there's more to being a captain than just what you see on the ice. You got to be a leader off the ice. While he may be a leader in the locker room, you also got to be a leader, and you got to be savvy with the media. You saw last year how Chris Pronger took a lot of the stress off of Richards with dealing with the media. But see, when you're inexperienced with dealing with the media, you have something like that. You have a coach's philosophy, and then you have a player inadvertently criticizing it. As a captain, it's your job not to cause a rift with a coach. It's your job to support what your team is going through, support what the coach is trying to get across. It makes it seem like you believe in the system. It makes it seem like the entire team is behind what the coach is doing, and it generally just gives the feel of a more confident team. Right there, you look like a team in disarray.
Well, I mean, I'm not here to start an argument with you. I mean, this is another conversation for another day. You know what I mean? We're talking about the power play here. What do you think about the power play comments? I mean, I think what this looks like to me, this looks like a frustrated captain who's really not happy with what's going on out there. I mean, come on.
Richards is a direct victim of the issue he was talking about with no continuity being established. Every new player, I mean, you saw when Nodal started getting more consistent playing time. You see with the more recent trade with Christopher Stieg, any new player is thrown with Richards on the line because the coach trusts Richards to make that work. So it's his job not to complain in the media about it, but to accept his role and to be willing to adapt with the other players and to get the job done.
Well, I mean, how would you feel tomorrow? You show up here to do the show, 6:09 in the morning. I'm not here. We got Gus Johnson here. Gus Johnson. I mean, what if tomorrow we show up? It's not me. And I mean, and you get this.
Hi, everybody. I'm Gus Johnson.
Gus Johnson on the 6:09 BJ Sports Bar. How would you feel about that? You'd be pretty pissed off, wouldn't you?
Well, I mean, first of all, we'd have to change the name, but that's beside the point. Honestly, you pay me what Richards gets paid, and I'll work with anybody.
Point taken. I guess really got to do what you got to do out there. These guys are professionals. They got to adapt. Now we're going to move along here. Talk about the Sixers. Doug Collins, coach of the month for February. I mean, this guy, this is the team last year. We were here. We were laughing about him. And now this team's a serious playoff contender. I mean, it's just a great job Collins is doing out there. Just a great coach.
First of all, you know the sign of a great coach is when he allows you to finally be able to utter, let's talk about the Sixers, without laughing on the air. But you see it. Thanks, Gus. Well, you see it in the attitudes of the team. Last year, with Eddie Jordan, no one cared. Everyone, in a loss, you'd be in the locker room. In fact, I was in the locker room trying to get some quotes from my articles a couple times. People aren't laughing. After a blowout loss, no one cared about the team. No one on the team cared about the team when Eddie Jordan was coach. Now with Doug Collins, he's inspired his players. He's even befriended his players. They respect him. He shows them respect, something that Eddie Jordan never did. And it really speaks to not only how good of a job he does, but the talent of the team. They're already 3 wins above last year, and we still got, 22 to play?
22 left.
22 to play, and we're already 3 games ahead of last year. With the roster hasn't changed much, so you have to attribute that to the coach. He's facilitating the growth of this team.
You know what Eddie Jordan is? You know what he is?
What is he, Justin?
He's a jerk.
He's a jerk.
Eddie Jordan is a 100% jerk, and he was an embarrassment. I'll tell you what, the Sixers, one of the most historical franchises in National Basketball Association history.
Right.
History.
Indeed.
I mean, we're talking, you got the Lakers, what? You got Celtics,
what?
And you got the Sixers, what? Right there. Third best team. People didn't care in this city. People did not care. Doug Collins, you know why he's being so successful here? We got a Philly guy. Sixers drafted him number 1 overall all the way back in the day. Played his entire professional career in Philly. He is a Philly guy. I mean, what can you say?
I mean, he loves the city, and he's willing to put it all out there every single night for the team, and the players give him that in return. He probably loves the city a lot more than any of the players do, and that love, that kind of love, that kind of passion is contagious, and it becomes even more contagious when you're winning.
And I'll tell you what, 27-17 in the last 44 games. 27-17. You want to extend that over a full season? We're talking 50 wins. This team's a 2 or a 3 seed.
You know, it's an unbelievable turnaround. But when this season started, people were thinking, let's just make the playoffs. I'll take a sweep. I don't care. I'll take a sweep. This year, with the recent trend of winning, ever since that 3-13 start and they've turned it around, we've been talking about not only making the playoffs, but let's make it a round or two. Let's make this interesting.
Let me tell you, man. I want the Celtics. And I know I'm probably going to get some crap from that. I'm probably going to get some calls. People calling in.
No call!
No call, apparently. But let me tell you something. The Boston Celtics, who you got there? Rajon Rondo is still a good young player, but who else you got? Ray Allen's getting old. Paul Pierce is up there. Kevin Garnett. Shaquille O'Neal. Are you serious? Shaq.
What do you got against Big Shamrock?
Let me tell you something about the Big Shamrock. His knees are non-existent. The man is dead. Put Big Maurice out there.
Maurice Spates
would dominate Big Shaq Daddy. Let me tell you something. Shaq Diesel would have nothing on this guy. I'm telling you, man.
You take Big Mo Spates over Shaq Diesel.
No, we're talking about the careers now. We're talking about the career. Shaq's a Hall of Famer. But Shaq's not the same player he was back in Orlando, Los Angeles, Miami, Phoenix. Even Cleveland, man. He sucked in Cleveland. He's still not even the same player he was then.
I'm telling you, man. If you can't beat out Spencer Halls for the starting job, I don't think you're taking down Shaquille O'Neal.
Now, hold on a minute. That's unfair. The Sixers trade away Sammy Dallenberg. They get Spencer Halls. You got to save some face, man. You trade away Sammy Dallenberg, one of the best defensive centers in the NBA. I mean, was he dumb? Yeah, he was stupid. He didn't know what he was doing. He had very low basketball IQ. But you trade him for somebody. You trade him what? He's got Halls and who's the other guy? Nocioni. They got Nocioni in that trade. You can't trade, really, one of the faces of the franchise and then not play the guy that you trade him for.
You know, I'm not an advocate of that. I think you should put the best five players out at all times. And really, if you're going to argue that Big Mo Spates is good enough to stop Shaquille O'Neal, then you sure as hell got to say that Big Maurice Spates can overtake Spencer Halls for the starting lineup.
No, you want to say the best five should be out there?
The best five.
What, you think that's what the Eagles did? You think that's what they start Kevin Cobb this season? You got Michael Vick, Hall of Fame. You know, let's talk about Michael Vick. Give him the franchise tag. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it was the right move. I mean, I know you're one of those people. There's those people out there that want to argue that after a season like that, you got to reward someone with a long-term deal. But
well, he deserves it. Guy's a star. He deserves it.
Come on. If you look at the season, the Eagles, they peaked in the middle of the season, and they started to trail off at the end of the season. I don't think they got a win in the last month of the season.
Yeah, you remember that Giants game? You remember that Giants game? Down 21, 8 minutes left. You don't remember that win? That was in the last month. You don't remember that?
You don't.
242 yards, three passing touchdowns, 130 rushing yards, rushing touchdown. Greatest comeback of all time. You don't remember that? That was a win in the last month. What are you talking about here, man? Come on, Bob.
But let's look at what he followed it up with. The following week against the Minnesota Vikings, a team that was 5-9, something like
five
that.
5-9, 5-9.
Let's look at this. Oh, shit. Can we cut that out?
You know, pardon my partner's language here. I mean, this is a family show. We're trying to keep it friendly for the families, but, I mean, I see your point, but he got hurt in that game.
And that's my problem. I don't think Michael Vick's body can last over the course of a 16-game season and playoffs at this point.
Here's what I'm saying. Give this guy this offseason. You get him in the weight room, get him bulked up a little bit. I mean, he was a little skinny guy out there. Get him in the weight room, get him bulked up. He's going to have a full offseason now. Study the playbook. Andy Reid, I guarantee you, Andy Reid, you criticize him all you want. The man knows his quarterbacks and he knows his offense. Andy Reid going to draw up some stuff for Michael Vick. I'm telling you, it's going to be great this year.
And I agree with you, but that's what I'm saying. This year, the franchise tag is a one-year commitment. We're going to see if everything you just said comes to fruition. I'm sure everybody would love for that to happen. And Michael Vick can prove that at his age and his level of play, if he can sustain that level of play again for a longer period of time over the course of a 16-game season and playoffs, and he instills confidence in the fans and the coaching staff and his players that he can continue to do it year after year. And I say after this season, we give him a long-term deal.
Well, who's to say he's coming back next season? I mean, this guy's a very wanted commodity. You see, who needs a quarterback? Arizona needs a quarterback. You think he wants to throw a Larry Fitzgerald? I want to throw it. You know, put me out there. I'll throw to Larry. Get him out there with the 49ers. Get him with Westbrook. I mean, I know Westbrook's not what he once was, but come on. Let's look at all the teams around the league that want a quarterback, and they have more money to spend than the Eagles. You got to lock him up now while you can.
I think Michael Vick knows that the Eagles rescued him. They rescued his career, and they allowed him to resurrect himself as well. He'll remember that, and in negotiations, I think that's a big thing for Michael. He's going to recognize what the Eagles did for him. They gave him a chance when no one else would, and he's going to understand that when they get to the negotiating table. I think if the Eagles want him back after this season, he'll be back after this season.
I mean, well, we'll see about that, but I mean, we love these guys, but this is a job to him. This is your job, right?
Indeed it is,
Justin. Let's say ESPN Radio calls you up tomorrow. They offer you $10 million. I don't know what you're getting paid here. I'm not going to get into personal details. So, I mean, let's say they offer you two, three times as much as you're getting paid here. You going to take that job?
Well, you got to...
Don't sit here and tell me you're not going to take that job, all right? Because you're full of crap if you say that.
You know, I think it's a different situation. If I was
full of crap.
Excuse me. If I was coming out of jail and this radio station was the only thing that would employ me, I think I would show a little respect to this radio station. And see, we're dealing with millions of dollars here. You're acting like the Eagles aren't going to pay him well. I think the Eagles are going to pay him well. I think they're going to pay him fine.
Not about paying him well. It's about respect. It's about respect.
That's what I said in the first place. It's about respect. Michael Vick will respect this organization, and if the Eagles want him back, he will come back to this organization.
No, not about Mike respecting the Eagles. Michael Vick is the Eagles right now. You want to tell me who's the most recognizable guy on the team? Who's the reason that people come out? They come out to see Michael Vick make highlight reel plays. Eagles got to show respect for that.
And I feel they're going to show respect to him. They're going to reward him nicely. If he has a great season this year, he'll get his paycheck. Don't you worry about that.
All right. Well, fair is fair. Gus, thinking it's nice. Let's move on here. I mean, well, we're about 6-7 games into spring training now, but I got to tell you something. I am worried about Don Brown. Don Brown, what's he now? What are we looking at? 0-16.
Don't forget the walk.
Oh, he got the walk. He got the walk today, guys. He got it. Absolutely incredible. Don Brown found his way on base. It's a miracle, but I mean, let's get serious now. This guy's supposed to be, last year rated number one prospect out of any minor leaguer, and now we're talking 0-16. I mean, here, we're legitimately happy that he got a walk. That's a problem.
I agree with you 100%. After you lose a player the caliber of Jason Wirth in right field, say what you want about his attitude, but
guy's a jerk.
He is a jerk, but you cannot deny what he brought, especially to the right side of the plate, which is something... Right-handed bat, excuse me, not the right side of the plate.
It's all good, man.
But something that the Phillies need, they need someone to step up and fill that position. Dominic Brown was supposed to be, if you hear some of the Philly media talking about him, you think he's the second coming of Christ. I mean, 0-16 with a walk. I know it's spring training. Normally, I don't take a lot of stock in spring training, but you look at winter ball. You look at winter ball.
Winter ball.
What did he get? Two hits in how many games? I don't know. It was pathetic. They pulled him. The reason for pulling him out of winter ball was to not shatter his confidence. If he can't get a hit in winter ball, he can't get a hit in spring ball. What kind of confidence do you think he'll have going into the regular season, if he even makes it there?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, this is a team built to win the World Series right now. You got, yep. What do you want to call them? R2-C2, 4 Loco, 4 Horsemen, the 4 Aces. What's the one that the guy gave us yesterday? Fat Joe and the Terror Squad. I like that one. But,
Fat Joe.
Gotta love him. But, back on topic. This is a team built to win right now.
Yep.
I mean, you can't have Don Brown out there being a liability. I mean, let's get Ben Francisco out there. Francisco started over in Cleveland before he came over here.
You know, people were calling for a platoon with Francisco and Brown to usher in the Dominic Brown era in right field. I said this year, let's see if Ben Francisco wants to start the Ben Francisco legacy in Philadelphia. When he's shown in the past that if he gets consistent at-bats, not just pinch hit appearances, not just spot appearances, consistent at-bats, he can deliver a solid bat. If Dominic Brown is going to go 0-16 with a walk.
Hey, it's a pretty big walk now.
Okay.
Give him some credit.
It's a pretty big walk. I'm sorry. But Dominic Brown, if he continues to play like this in spring training, he won't see the diamond this year for the Phillies. He might be back down in the minors like last year. At this point in the career, if that's the level of his game, send him back down to the minors. Don't let him shatter his confidence at the big league level. He's a good young player. He'll get his chance. Let's not spoil it for him now if he's not ready.
All right, well, we got that Don Brown sound clip. Jim Salisbury, CSN Philly, excellent reporter, caught up with him and see what Dom had to say about his struggles down in spring training.
I'm going to tell him to slow down. I think I'm as slow as it's going to get. Just trying to get comfortable and get back in the swing of things. And, you know, like I said, I raised my hands up just a little bit. They're in a happy medium spot, not too high, not too low. Just trying to get comfortable.
Just trying to get comfortable out there, you know. I mean, baseball, I believe, takes the most practice. I mean, you got that ball coming in there 95 miles an hour. You got to hit it. And if you're not comfortable in there, I mean, what can you do? You're not going to do anything.
You see it in a lot in spring training. You see guys, they don't have their timing down. You see pitchers, they don't have their velocity up. There's more of an adjustment period, I feel, in baseball to game speed than in any other sport. But as a professional, especially with the pitcher struggling just as much as the hitters, over 16 is unacceptable.
Over 16, can't have it.
With a walk.
My partner brings up a good point. Did you guys hear the big news? Dom Brown actually got the first base. He got the first base. Didn't go any further. Got stranded out there. But he got the first base. It's progress.
It's progress.
All right, we got to take a station break. When we come back, we're going to have some union news for you. We're going to talk Big Five basketball. March Madness right around the corner. Nova's struggling. What's going on with Nova? No, we'll talk about that when we get back. Nova, Temple, Big Five, Union. We'll talk about all that when we come back. 96.9 Sports.